is on the radio today. So turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Hey, this is Steve Sharippa, better known as Bobby Bacala. It's 3 o'clock, and the Michael K. Show starts now, right here on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, do me a favor. Don't screw this thing up, would you?
We will try, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Monday, January 25th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, certainly your responsibility. And we have ourselves a Super Bowl, everybody. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are trying to become back-to-back Super Bowl champions. The game will be played in Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah.
So Tom Brady, the first quarterback to play on his home field. So he gets another check mark on his amazing resume. Goes to his 10th Super Bowl. Trying to win his 7th, which would pass him, have him pass Jordan for the most championships, although still far away from Bill Russell, but of modern era, I will tell you that. But so many things to talk about yesterday's game. So let's start with the one that I think that's on everybody's mind. And that is, you've got 4th and goal at the 8. You're down by 8 points. So if you score, if you're the Packers, and you get the two-point conversion, it's a tie game. There's 2 minutes and 5 seconds left. And Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Green Bay Packers, decides to go for a field goal. Now, I can honestly tell you that as I was watching, I was absolutely flabbergasted when I saw the field goal unit come on the field.
Me too.
It didn't make any sense to me. Now, it just seems to me that Rodgers and that offense could score when it has to score. So what you're doing in that sense is you're going to take the field goal, cut it down to 5, then kick the ball off to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left. Now you have 3 timeouts remaining. So essentially, all you have to do if you're the Buccaneers is get 1 first down. And that's what he gambled on, that Tom Brady would not be able to get 1 first down. Now, this wasn't talked about that much. They kick off to Tampa Bay, and the guy who gets the kickoff slides and goes down
huge
and gives
break.
Himself up with 2 minutes and 3 seconds left. He gave himself up, which gave Green Bay another timeout. It looked like maybe the football gods were going to save LaFleur.
Right.
But again, they were playing against Tom Brady. Please, either one of you, why would he go for the field goal there when you've got, and even the numbers, you can't say that football's turning into baseball with the analytics, because the numbers say that if you go for it there, you have a 10% chance of winning. And if you go for the field goal there, you have a 9.8% chance of winning. So it's minuscule, but you still have a greater chance of winning if you go for it there. So if they had gone for it there and not gotten it, you're still leaving a 92-yard field for Tom Brady. You could still stop him, and you still have a chance to get the ball back. None of it makes sense to me.
The only thing that I can think of is that, for whatever reason, he's afraid of overtime. But I that doesn't make any sense to me either, because you got to get a stop no matter what. So what is he afraid that we're going to get the touchdown and the two-point conversion is going to tie the game? Then we'll get the stop at the end of the regulation, and then we go to the old overtime rules and we lose the game. We never touch the ball. I want to avoid overtime. I want to kick the field goal, get the ball back, score a touchdown, and win the game. I don't want to go to overtime. But to me, I'm not even thinking about overtime. Just get me to a place where I got a chance to win the game. I mean, I've got one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Get the touchdown. Even if you miss on the two-point conversion, you know, you still got to get
situation.
The ball back.
That's right.
You know, and now you can kick a field goal to win the game. It's overthinking it. It just, I was baffled. I was completely baffled. And you're so right. Nobody else had brought that up. I was watching the game. I was at the station because I was getting ready to do the Ranger game. Like, why did he slide and give himself up before the two-minute warning? He could have ran around a little bit, and then the two-minute warning would have been gone for the Packers. But then you saw brilliance.
Gave the Packers 4 timeouts.
But then you saw the brilliance of Snacks with the encroachment, which was actually smart.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get the first down. At least you just give it to them. That's one less play that they then have to run, and then you can try to get the three and out, and hopefully get the ball back. But no, it's just baffling to me. There's so many things that irritated me about that game during the game, after the game. It was rough.
It makes sense that we're all going to talk about the fourth down call, and we should, and Matt LaFleur should have to talk about it for a while because it was, in a word, horrifying. But the Packers they did a lot of things to give that game away.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Tom Brady was trying to let the Packers get that game in the second half, and they just never seemed to fully take advantage. Like, you could point to multiple places, drops, mistakes, ineffective offense, bad decision-making like we saw in the play calling. There was just a lot that they did that was uninspiring. And, yeah, they didn't lay the same egg they laid last year against San Francisco in the conference championship, but this was no doubt a letdown performance for the Packers.
A lot of people are jumping on Brady for the three interceptions. His wide receivers could not hold on to the ball. In the first half, I thought he played a perfect game. Then he turns the ball over three straight times, and that's why you give – the defense of the Buccaneers all the credit, because they turned those three turnovers, those three interceptions, into what, 6 points? It could have been 21 points, and there's the ball game. So, I mean, you got to give credit to their defense. They put pressure on Rodgers consistently. But one thing, I'm not giving Brady all the blame for the three interceptions, because balls were bouncing off the hands of Tampa Bay receivers. And at one point, I thought that Brady was just going to sit down and talk to them. You guys want to win or not? Because he's putting balls right on their hands. And you can say, well, those were tough catches. Tough catches have to be made if you want to win a championship.
True.
Period. They have to be.
But there's a lot that goes in to all of this that goes just beyond the quarterbacks. And I guess that's what frustrates me overall about the NFL is the lazy analysis of Brady won, Rodgers lost. And when you watch that game, there's so much else that goes into it, right? You need a team around. You could talk about drops, Michael, but I could tell you on that drive when the Buccaneers scored their second touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's third and long. Brady just heaves it up. A 52-yard pass, just heaves it up because he's thinking if it gets picked off, it's a punt. And then Godwin makes an amazing catch, climbs the defensive back, makes an amazing catch, sets them up for their second touchdown. Right? So we praise Brady. What a pass. No, that was all his wide receiver making a play, because Brady threw that up, not caring if it got picked off, because he was willing to punt the ball away. So you could talk about the drops. That's an amazing catch. Well, Rodgers can't win the big game. Another wasted season for the Packers. Well, you mean Adams dropped the pass on first and goal at the end of the second quarter? It would have tied the game. They had to settle for three there. Right? The missed two-point conversion was right in his chest, dropped it.
And the ridiculous defense they played at the end of the first half, allowing Brady to get that touchdown. That
Aaron
wasn't
Rodgers. Had nothing to do with that. When they end up getting a touchdown and getting the 21 points at the half when they shouldn't even have gotten any points whatsoever. So I'm not going to say that Rodgers played a perfect game, because he was a part of those three and outs and they couldn't take advantage of the turnovers in the second half by Brady. But, guys, I mean, that Buccaneer defense came to play. And as a Giant fan, I mean, how cool was Jason Pierre-Paul playing? Huge. You know, not that long ago, we're making fun of him for blowing his fingers off. He's still a stud in this league. Javanian Clowney, give me a break. Talk about JPP still in this league, still making big plays.
No, he's a dominant player.
How about Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah. And so there's a lot of things going on there. So it's all about the quarterback. It's all about Brady. And Brady played amazing. And it is crazy that a 43-year-old goes to Tampa and is going to go to a Super Bowl. But that team's got talent on both sides of the ball. I think they're very well coached. And there's a lot that goes into the wins and losses, guys, besides Brady beating Rodgers.
But that's a sexy and easy way, I guess.
Well, it's also the lazy way.
Yep, absolutely.
I would love, though, if anyone out there on earth can argue on behalf of Matt LaFleur, I would sincerely love to hear it. I would love to hear the opinion that could make sense as to realistically why that is the move to make, to cut it to five.
Well, here's Matt LaFleur talking about, do you regret kicking the field goal now?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had 4 timeouts with the 2-minute warning. We knew we needed to get a stop, and I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI. It didn't work out.
And that's another thing. There weren't a lot of flags in the game. So then people are saying, well, I mean, why would you call that pass interference? The guy had his jersey. It was clear that he had his jersey.
Yeah, but
were you supposed to let that go?
But it wasn't a defensive hold. It was pass interference.
Right.
So they got suckered into the dive. So you don't have a kick coming, because if they had called it right, it's still a first down. And it's still first down. It's still game over. But they missed that, and they fell for the dive. And you have it. You know, you talk about flopping in basketball, and you've got hockey's got dives. I'd have no problem if they put a rule in that, you know what, we're going to call the pass interference, but we're going to replay the down because he completely dove. He sold it. So that's a defensive hold, right? They're showing the replay now on yes. They felt
but no, the
for
back
the
judge could
the
see
pass interference.
I thought they felt that the back judge could have seen the jersey being pulled.
Right.
It got stretched out a foot. I think the ref could see it.
Yeah, there's no way you just swallow the. You can't swallow the whistle there. It was legitimate. It was absolutely legitimate.
But I guess the question becomes, because like, you got to look at the timing, right? Because if it's before the ball is thrown, it's a defensive hold. If you fall for the him dropping to the ground and then get suckered into the pass interference, the frustration could be they missed the hold, but they called the pass interference.
But either way, it's a penalty.
But either way, it's a penalty, right? But I guess the feeling is they missed the one, they got suckered into the other one, and why did it take so long for the flag to come out?
Here's all I felt. When we got to that point, right, what was it, 3rd and 4? I just remember thinking, this is really what you wanted, Matt LaFleur? Did you guys, I don't know if you noticed it. I could feel through the television Tom Brady's confidence as he went back into shotgun in that play. He knew 100% he was picking up that first down. And guess what? Me, I've been watching football not as long as 40 years, but a long time. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt he was getting it. And when that ball landed incomplete and you saw the receiver fall down, all I thought was, man, we are waiting a long time for the inevitable flag that is coming out to end this game. And it just was so angry on behalf of Ballard and right. And Packers fans, as why you would have ever wanted to put the game in Tom Brady's hands that way.
Right. And he just admitted in that cut that we just played, because of the lack of first, second, and third down success, that he kicked the field goal. So he's basically saying, I don't think my world-class quarterback on a 4th and goal from the 8 can throw a touchdown, when you know what happened to the Packers on defense could very easily happen to the Bucs. Right? Make a play. Defensive holding, pass interference, right? They don't want to give up a touchdown there.
I've got to try it,
and if I don't get it, Peter,
they're backed up
at the 8.
I know, and that was the other thing. The question really is, how valuable is the 3 points? And the answer to me is not that valuable. You still would need to go the length of the field and score a touchdown. Now, granted, you would also need a 2-point conversion. But those 3 points didn't do that much. Whereas if you score the touchdown, you have an opportunity to tie the game. And if you don't, to Don's point, instead of giving it back to them at the 30, they're pinned back.
Which changes their play calls, right? Maybe they're
not
going to be as aggressive, because what if Brady gets sacked? So now they might be more apt to kind of to run, be a little bit more conservative, but with room from their own 30.
And then if they're pinned back and they don't get the first down, then you're getting the ball with a shorter field. The way it is now, even though you have the 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning, by the time you get the ball back, you're probably going to be pinned back and have no timeouts. It makes no sense.
And
it
how about this?
No
you come up short inside the 8-yard line. You also have the opportunity to safety, which would cut the game to 6 before you get the ball back. There's just so many reasons that it was crazy to me. I don't know. They didn't show Rodgers arguing it, which surprised me. I would have almost thought Rodgers is like, what?
Well, he's got to be careful, though. This is his guy, right? He didn't want McCarthy anymore. He wanted LaFleur. So he's got to be careful.
I don't know if he wanted LaFleur, though.
Yeah, I don't think he did either, because the first year they didn't get along.
Now, what I'm concerned about, this is the first thing that was on my mind. How's Ballard? Is he feeling badly today?
Ballard. that's just being a bad guy. Well, that's just, there's not even anyone
first
in our
of all,
audience.
There's no reason not to like him. And
that first
is. And again, this is what bothers me about your attitude with Ballard and with fans in general is there's no way for them to come back at you because you don't care about anything. Your heart's black. So what am I going to do? Go after your family? That's apples and oranges. So you could sit there and pick on me because my team lost, or Andrew on Philadelphia, or Peter with Washington, or Ballard with Green Bay. Make fun of him. Meanwhile, the entire reason we exist is because of fans. And then they can't come back at you because you don't care about anything.
I care about a lot of things. You just have to find out what I care about.
But nothing that would be fair. Was Ballard supposed to come back and tweet about your kids?
Yeah, I mean
it's not fair.
The direct quote he gave me yesterday is that he was, quote, gutted.
Ah, too bad.
Well, but see, but you are playing so
he's not
unfair.
Even, but here's the problem. He's not even from Wisconsin.
Who cares?
He's Packer fan.
Get into whatever you want. The fact that he's a Packer fan. I hear what you're saying because that bothers me too sometimes, but he is a fan, and he clearly is a diehard fan.
Yeah, but his whole family's from the Midwest, and they're Packers fans. That is what it is. Who cares? Who
is
Michael to judge?
It's not a fair fight. Because when Rothenberg goes after Andrew about the Eagles, well, then Andrew knows, all right, you better be careful, Dave, because if the Giants lose, I'm going to come right back at you. It's a fair fight. Michael is not playing fair because there is nothing that Ballard or anybody else can come back with.
No, I didn't even bother at Peter when Washington lost. I didn't because
but
I
you
this.
Always
first
get
all,
on
I
Andrew.
Don't
Andrew, please
like
speak up.
Ballard.
How many times
don't
has he
like
texted
him.
You after
don't
a bad
like him. So
Eagle
if he's
loss,
gutted, it makes
Philly
me
loss,
feel good.
Sixer loss.
It's not fair.
Makes me feel good if he's gutted. I'm sorry.
That's just so mean.
Got something
and
against
even
the
get
guy.
Into how. You like him because you dislike him because of his name.
I don't like the cut of his jib.
You've never even seen his jib.
I don't even know
what a jib is.
I don't care. I'm not going to apologize for making fun of him. That's what sports is about.
No, it's not. No,
yes,
that's
is.
Not what sports
yes,
is
it
about.
Is. No,
the guy
upset,
that doesn't have
said,
skin in the game.
You're just upset
rip it.
Because
it's not
you
fair.
Think I don't have skin
it's
in
not
the
a
game.
Fair fight. It's not what sports are about. It's
wrong.
I have a favorite team, you have a favorite team, and we kind of go at each other. That's what sports is about. Not the guy in a mountain thinks he's above being a fan, used to be a fan back in the 70s, but then gave it up like it's some sort of affliction. And then you go after a guy that is a fan, and he can't go back at you. That's not sports.
No. What I'm doing is sports. Unfortunately, you're saying he can't come back at me. Oh, too bad. But
no.
Fans dragging on other fans when their team lost is exactly
what sports is. Jody's ugly? No, it's not fair. The only thing you care about is your family. You don't even care about us. So there's nobody else that he can't go after you. You're untouchable to him. That's not fair.
He takes shots at me all the time.
Only retaliatory shots when he feels completely attacked.
Please. He's got it too bad.
Well, because you get personal with him and then he gets personal with you. But I'm talking about you getting on him because his Packers lost, making fun of him in a huge television or radio audience. And
how
he's
do I
got
make
no
fun
way
of
to
him?
Get
I
back
asked Peter,
at you
how's he
you
doing?
You're not a fan.
I asked Peter, how's he doing? How's that making fun of him?
And he replay the tone. Because all of a sudden, Michael's tone deaf, Peter. Like he thought
he's
that
such
I was legitimately
phony.
Asking
Who's
how Ballard is.
You
how so?
Because I said he's gutted, and you went gutted, wooded. Oh my God!
I never said gutted, wooded.
You said how's Ballard Wallard?
How's Ballard Wallard? I never said gutted.
How's Ballard Wallard? Wow.
I mean, colossally bad guy from a sports perspective. You don't see the issue.
No, I don't. Anyway, here's Aaron Rodgers. He created some news after the game. Where the team goes from here?
I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough, especially with it only being one bye week playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point, and that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach. But I do appreciate you all and the job that you've done this year. I appreciate our interactions. Appreciate the opportunity to share every week and always be thankful for this season.
I never got – everybody got out of that that he wants to be traded. Now, if he ends up saying, I want to be traded, boy, you've got some trade market for quarterbacks. But I didn't get that. He has the legitimate right to be gutted because he's a member of the Packers. He's their leader. So I understand him being gutted. What did you want him to say? I'm happy right now?
No, things, but he definitely left it like he doesn't know if he wants to like go through this again.
But
like,
he's
I think he was kind
wherever
of
wherever you go,
sorry
you're going to have to go through
to be
it.
Honest with you. You know, I don't think he has any intention of retiring. I think he'd be silly to leave. I mean, that's still a good football team. I just think he kind of just feels down. Because, you know, it's like being in a long relationship and then you break up. And it's not so much that the breakup bothers you. It's that I don't want to have to go through this all over again. It's going to take I don't want to go through training camp and then regular season and go 13-3 again. Like I think he's just feeling sorry for himself.
Right.
He'll be back. This NFC's still wide open. Breeze is going to be gone. You know, Brady's going to be 44. I know he's never going to go away, but you know, he's another year older. You know, I don't know what's going on with any of the teams in the NFC East right now. His own division, all right, maybe if Chicago lands Watson, but otherwise they've got dysfunction at quarterback. Oh, I don't know how good Minnesota is right now. You know, so why couldn't he just come right back with the exact same team and go 13-3 again? Right?
I agree.
I don't think he wants to have to go through all of that and then – you know, nothing he does now between now and a year from now is going to matter until he finally gets back to that Super Bowl and wins.
It's tough. I've spoken to players that lose the championship game, and they feel like they just want to get back to that point. But to get them back to that point, you have to go through the whole rigmarole again, the whole season, the whole postseason. It's hard. It does. It's gut-wrenching for a player. Absolutely is hard. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. There was another game, too. We have to talk about the Bills and the Chiefs. It seemed like a little bit of a mismatch, to tell you the
sure
truth.
Did.
We'll break it down for the people. 1-800-919-3776. Really, I sit here and I hope that Ballard Wallard is okay. I don't want him to be gutted. I want him to move forward.
I texted him and asked if I said, Kay is destroying you right now. And
what did he say?
He's deranged. He said, Kay's deranged. I'm in line at Sweet Green. Grateful for another Packers season. Moving on with my life.
So he's taking a cue from Rodgers.
How's Ballard Wallard? Is he feeling badly today?
Wow. You could claim you were just asking how Ballard was, but tone matters.
I didn't
Peter,
realize
I think
it came
that
off as hateful.
All.
No,
like that,
no,
like
no,
a
no,
quote,
say
a tweet would not do it justice.
Well, how dare he say I'm deranged? In what way am I deranged?
I can't sick. Believe how you continuously flip it on to him. Stop.
No. No. He's at Sweet Greens. What's he buying at Sweet Greens?
Salad. That's what you get there.
It doesn't look like he's that big of a salad guy.
You know what? You know what, Don? I'm just not going to bring him up anymore. It's too far now.
Good, fine. No, the audience doesn't like him.
The audience talks about him all the time.
Because you talk about him all the time.
All I do is mention him in passing, and you can't resist. You need to have someone to attack.
You
know, what's wrong with
you? You think this is just fun radio. He is trying to bring down every relationship we have. It's
yeah.
the same reaction to the Stark brothers, to Dan Graca. It's the same thing. It's attacking our relationships. He wants to bring it all down.
I like a lot of guys.
He wants to bring it all down. I don't think we can underestimate or understate how bad a guy he is.
You could give it a shot. 1-800-919-3776. Got a lot of phone calls we have to get to. Kay, LeGreca, Rosenberg, Ballard, Wallard, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, let's move over to the other game. And that, see, even Bear wants
yeah, Bear, you want to talk about this game?
Is the Chiefs and the Bills. I've been saying this a lot Obviously, Josh Allen's a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you can't be sacked four times for 65 yards. You got to get rid of the ball. He does it all the time. He's so strong and so big that he thinks he could get out of anything, and he takes these huge losses for sacks. But that's just a side about the game. The other part is this. They don't seem like they belonged yesterday. I think the moment was too big for them. It just was. And their defense was not up to the task of stopping Patrick Mahomes. And that's not a knock on their defense. That offense is otherworldly. They didn't have answers. I'm sorry, they did not have answers for them. And the better team won, period. The better team won. And I think the Bills are going to be around for a long time. Unfortunately for them, they've gotten rid of Brady in the AFC. They're not getting rid of Mahomes in the AFC. So going to the Super Bowl for the next 5 years, you're always going to have to go through Kansas City at some point.
You hope that this is a lesson, right? I mean, that's we had this conversation during the pandemic with, like, the top five teams that learned their lesson. I remember as a Giant fan, and, you know, in 85, they lost to the Bears. They got shut out 21-0. They looked like they didn't belong on the field with Chicago. That Bears team was amazing. Well, the Giants, they learned. They walked off the field that day saying, we thought we were good, but we learned our lesson. We got to get better. And the next year, they did, and they won the championship. That's what you have to hope with the Bills. You know, they got on that field in Kansas City, and they thought, and I thought, and Peter thought, that they had a decent chance because I thought they were the best team in football in the second half of the year. While KC was having trouble covering, even though they were winning, the Bills are blowing everybody out. And they now know that they are not in that stratosphere yet. But they're still young. They're still, I think, well-coached. And you hope that they learn that lesson, and now next year go out and get better. And that's what you have to hope.
It's amazing how the Chiefs, so even last year they did this, they just spot people an early lead just to make things interesting. So when Hardman fumbled that the kickoff, boom, it's 9-0. 9-0, and the Chiefs didn't blink. The second quarter, they were unstoppable. They have too many weapons. Romo kept saying it over and over again. Are you going to stop Kelce? Are you going to stop him? Who are you going to stop? And even their, like, tertiary players, they're really, really good. You can't stop everybody. No defense could stop that many weapons. That's the bottom line. So they're great. I mean, they are just great. Andy Reid always thought of it couldn't win the big game. It's hard for them to lose the big game with this team. There's so many weapons. What a beautifully put together team. And they don't even have a great running game. Imagine if they had a running game.
Yeah, they're
fabulous.
It was a letdown game, though.
How so?
I don't mean like a letdown game for the Bills or Chiefs. I just mean from a viewing standpoint. I just went into that game with high expectations, and I really, after the 9-0 lead, they were basically just beaten from pillar to post. When you think about it, that game starts out 9-0, and they make it semi interesting by scoring the touchdown late. Think about what happened in the middle 50 minutes of that game.
Mm-hmm.
It was destruction.
Another question about a coach. Coaches should go to, like, the Bill Parcells class at the new school because none of them know how to handle the two-point conversion. They don't know how to handle clock. Why did they go for that two-point conversion when they scored the touchdown? Because if you get it, you still need two scores anyway. If you kick the extra point, then you need two scores with two two-point conversions to tie the game. But if you miss the two-point conversion with the touchdown, which they did, then you need three scores. So the next time they had the ball after they recovered the onside kick, they kicked a field goal just to get one of those three scores back.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. Now I know people that are defending it. Well, you need to have two touchdowns with two two-point conversions anyway, so why not get it there? Because if you don't get it there, you have killed the momentum of the team.
Which
because
they did.
Now they know they need three scores rather than two.
Why put the game on the line at that particular point when you don't have to?
Great way to put it.
You know, we put it on the line when you've gotten a point of no return.
So, oh, Don, I didn't know we had to explain that to NFL coaches. Let me explain this. You may at some point need to put the game on the line where there's a conversion. You have to get it, and if you don't get it, it's over. The point is to push that as far down the line as you can so your team can play still with the knowledge that they can win the game. I thought that went without saying. I don't think it does.
So,
they can't figure this out. Coaches cannot figure out extra points.
And Peter, you weren't on the show when they passed this. Coaches didn't want the two-point conversion. You know why? because it would have put them too many decisions in their head. Something that they could screw up. And you know what? They've lived up to it. They continually screw it up.
And that's where I think they rely on the analytics, because they don't want to have to think about it. But part of being a coach to me, and this goes for managers in baseball too, that's what drives us crazy about the analytics, is a feel for the moment. Because not everything is equal. Not everything is something that can be spit out from a computer. Like, you live in that moment, and momentum is so huge, and you've got to be able to make decisions on the fly and know what your team can and can't do. I don't want to make decisions based on what happens in some arbitrary game in September between two teams that aren't good enough to make the playoffs, because that's what you're doing. When you're spitting out numbers, you're taking all of the team's decisions and all the times that they went for two in that particular moment.
Yep.
So why am I applying logic in a championship game that
you should apply logic in a game, numbers.
In the first week of the season against, like, two teams that aren't going to the playoffs?
And you know, when we go back to the Packers game, you know, the people are saying, well, the numbers tell you it's about even. That's with, I don't know, let's throw a name out there. Alex Smith or Daniel Jones or Sam Darnold. They're all put – that's not with Aaron Rodgers. That's a different animal.
Right.
So you coach him different. You go for things in a different way. That's Aaron Rodgers. That's not some pedestrian quarterback.
Right. So you're taking the average quarterback and applying that logic to maybe the greatest that ever played the game. In
right.
a game in which he couldn't help but convert on third down. So now all of a sudden, when you can't get off the field for most of the game, you're now going to rely on, in order to win the game and get the ball back, that I am going to have to stop one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of football of converting on a third down. And oh, by the
so
way,
weird.
Really didn't work when they get 9 yards on first down, right? They're immediately in a second and one. Snacks does the encroachment, which was a wise move, but they still got the fresh set of downs. And even if they did get the break and they don't call the pass interference, how much time is left? Where are they going to get the ball?
Crazy. Crazy. Listen to this. This is new. 98.7 ESPN and Jack Daniels present Inside the Huddle on Friday, February 5th.
Oh, yeah.
It's an intimate gathering with Bart Scott and Chris Canty, hosted by Bob Wischusen. Now, Scott and Canty both said, we'll do this. But the guy that hosts has to talk a lot, so we don't have to talk. So they went through the Rolodex. They said, this is the guy Bob was using.
I love it.
So Scott and Canty will not have much to say.
Well,
it's a VIP Zoom party on the Friday before the big game. Do you want to be part of this, Don?
Oh, I just thought that I would advise Canty to get like a cardboard cutout to prop up in front of his computer, and then he can have his day free, because where is he talking? Where is he talking between Bart and Bob?
Oh, excellent point. I'd even factor in the Bart factor.
Well, you have to remember the Bart factor.
Because that's a lot of talking.
So Canty should talk to Alan Hahn, is what you're saying. Canty should talk to Alan Hahn and Marty Lyons. Just get the lay of the land.
They anyway, or you know what? They could do a competing Zoom that's just empty space.
Now, if you don't know Marty's work, watch Major League. Bob Uecker's color commentator for the Indians on radio.
I'm Marty Lyons.
It's a VIP Zoom party on the Friday before the big game. The former NFL stars will break down the matchup, mix up some Jack Daniels cocktails, and give away some great prizes. To score your VIP access pass and a Jack Daniels tailgating kit, be caller number seven right now at 888-987-ESPN. Again, that's caller number seven right now at 888-987-3776. It's 98.7 ESPN's Inside the Huddle, presented by Jack Daniels. That should be fun. Really, think about it.
No, seriously, that is great. Because between, you know, Bart and Canty, and in Bob's called, like, huge games, that is going to be a lot of fun. We're making fun, but that's going to be pure fun.
The biggest game deserves whiskey's biggest name, Jack Daniels. Make it count. Do you know that I dated a girl for 5 years, Donna Daniels. Her dad's name was Jack.
Really?
Yes, and his name was Jack Daniels.
And were they big drinkers?
Not really. Great guy, though. The best.
That's tough, because Jack Daniels has been around, like, since the early 1800s, so
right.
what were their parents thinking?
Well, he was John, and he became Jack, I guess.
Well, that's his fault, then.
He could have stopped that. You're jumping a guy you don't even know. At least I know Ballard.
You don't know Ballard. And I'm not ripping. I'm not calling him all the things that you call Ballard. I'm just saying that.
Have I ever called Ballard a name? Think about it.
Mm.
No. Think about it.
Well, Wallard. What's a Wallard?
I think you have.
I didn't call him a Wallard. I said Ballard Wallard.
Right.
Yeah, you kind of made up weight jokes about him. You just decided to start calling him fat.
Mm-hmm. I never called him fat. Who am I to say fat?
No, you do. You just did it last break. You said it doesn't look like he eats a lot of salads. What's the implication there, sir?
Yeah, right.
Because I think he's not a salad guy. Doesn't mean he's fat.
Yeah, but that implies that he's fat. What is it? Why? Because he doesn't have a greenish hue?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. You know how regular he is? I mean, come on. That doesn't even make sense.
That's right.
Excuse me?
He doesn't look like somebody who's got a lot of roughage in his system.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We've been talking a lot, so we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's all happening here on The K Show, every Monday through Friday on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Ah, the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Anthony, if I may, music, please. I'd like to apologize to all of our many listeners and viewers on 98.7 and on Yes. I know you come to me for information. And what I did toward the end of the football season was an embarrassment. I don't know if I can ever right that wrong. I should be better for you. I shouldn't allow Peter Rosenberg to take over the lead in our pick segment, but I did.
Sure did.
Where was my head? I don't know. I tried, just like I tried when I was leading in the first half of the season, but it got away from me. So for that reason, I apologize, and I hope that you can continue to look at me as an authority on these things. But fade the music, Anthony. The champions come out on championship weekend. And yesterday, I proved that I am sampling the best. 2 for 2. My two expert colleagues, 0 for 2. Not even close. Now, can I win? No, I can't. But I can climb out of the basement. I can make Don dress up in Eagle paraphernalia and sing Fly, Eagles, Fly, whatever that stupid song is. Because in the big moment, when you expect the most from me, every single one of you sitting in front of your television or radio, you expect me to step up and deliver in a big moment. You know what I did yesterday? I stepped up. And I delivered in a big moment. Peter Rosenberg hasn't been able to lose. I guess he didn't have a direct line to incarcerated Bob because I exposed that connection last week and he didn't go with Bob. And Bob was 2-0 last week. 2-0 this Sunday. Because Bob is sampling the best. Even R.J. Bell gave you a winner. But Don and Peter, no. No. So the Super Bowl's worth 3 points. I'm 2 behind Don.
This is so pathetic.
Now, if Peter wants to really make it a challenge and add an over-under, I could also catch him.
Why would I ever do that?
Don't do it. Don't do it because Don could catch you. You could lose too. But I know one thing. that when Super Bowl Sunday shows up, I can get out of the basement and possibly rid myself of the ridicule of dressing up as an Eagle fan and pass that on to Don, who it would hurt even more than me. I guess I'm willing to play the clown. Don, it would hurt, viscerally hurt. But again, championship weekend, that's when championships are won. That's where champions step to the forefront. And once again, when the going got tough, I got going. Oh, both of these guys. The Bills. They're always going to beat them. Give me the Chiefs. Both of these guys. The Packers. Oh, Green Bay. Rodgers. Oh, give me the GOAT. I'll take the Bucks. And you know what that meant? I was 2-0. They were 0-2. Always remember that. So even if I lose this year, I won last year. Remember what I did when it counted most, when you needed me most.
Why most?
Because it's championship weekend.
But it's not worth any more money.
Oh, yeah. That's when people
four
step
for,
up.
I went 4-for-4 last weekend.
You went 0-for-2 this weekend.
I understand.
The one they call championship weekend.
I've also clinched that you cannot catch me.
But Don can catch you.
Right, but I lost nothing this weekend because Don and I had the same picks.
That's okay, but he can still catch you.
You're celebrating that you might get out of the basement.
That's right.
This would be like the Orioles climbing within a few games of second to last place and starting to have a party.
And you don't think they'd feel good about things. Because both of you looked down upon me because I had a bad stretch. After I won last year, yeah, I had a bad stretch. I admit it. Had a bad stretch. But when the AFC and the NFC championships were on the line, I stepped up. I gave the picks that everybody needed. That's what I'm about.
I understand it's the Michael Kay Show. The fact that you just got five times the amount of time I've gotten to celebrate going 18-7 over the last 25 up till this weekend.
Go celebrate.
No, it's too late. You just spent more time celebrating.
It is too late because you just won
0-2. Right. So, okay, 18-9. I'll take that. 18-9 over the last 27 games.
And if you were a football team, you'd be home watching right now, and I'd be going to the Super Bowl.
No, you wouldn't have even made the playoffs.
I would have made the playoffs. I was
I already clinched beating you weeks ago. We've known for a week that you could not catch me. And you're the one celebrating.
Yep.
Like, it'd be one thing and sad enough for you to clinch if you beat Don next week for second place. That would be sad enough. But you're celebrating maybe getting to second place?
Yep.
This is a real character day for you. The attack on Ballard, the anger, the visceral disgust that you show, and then celebrating being second place before the it's Don is sick. He can't even talk.
Yankee Pinstripes just tweeted out, Michael Kay is the DJ LeMahieu of picks. Steps up in the moment, doesn't allow the pressure to get to him. Magnificent.
No, DJ LeMahieu was consistent throughout the entire season. Michael Kay was not.
You're just not handling the fact that you didn't do well this weekend.
You have to understand, the only thing I was upset about this weekend is that I lost money. I had the Bills winning the Super Bowl, lost that, and I threw some extra money in the Packers yesterday, lost that.
No, too bad.
But besides that, it didn't matter, because me and Don had the same picks, and I already crushed you. I squashed you like a bug.
Oh, you mean like the bugs you ate last year for me squashing you?
That's fine, but guess what? That was last year.
Oh.
I mean, granted, it's all absurd. I had to eat bugs, and you're going to do a perform a song, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. The point is, you lost to me. You know what, Anthony? Play my song, please. My song. This is my song. Because it's true. Right now, look at the standings, and you'll see that I'm... No. No. The same song you just played for him. You look at the standings, and you'll see that I'm...
I'll play it for you. Would you like it? I'll do it for you. But you know what, Peter? After yesterday, your little lead that you had by cheating for 8 weeks?
I don't care. I don't care.
Why?
I don't care. I don't care because I know you did it with ill-gotten gains.
I never cheat. I never took
advice from
anyone.
When I led the first half of the season, I cheated. Why is that?
I didn't say you did.
You did. You said it. You said it.
No, last year I accused you of cheating. Not this year.
Don and both you and Don accused me of cheating this year. So
no,
I'm not going to accept the results.
I went after you last year. I did not go after you this year for cheating.
I'll pull tape.
Go ahead, pull tape. Go ahead.
I will.
Yeah. I am. Look at you. You killed Don. You killed him. He can't even talk.
I don't want to even be a part of this segment.
All right, then let's move on.
I mean, Peter started Chad Henne in week 17, and you're like celebrate. He knew he couldn't be caught. And if you want me to lay an allegation, my regret is not changing on the fly. But we made our picks known ahead of time, and I know you went against us because we showed our hand. So I'm not going to give you credit for yesterday. How about that?
That's a ridiculous statement.
No, it's not really ridiculous, Peter, because, right, didn't we not, like, I predicted Packers-Bills in the Super Bowl. We were married to that Bills pick for,
yeah,
like 2 weeks. He knew what he was doing.
And, by the way, that's the hilarity of the whole thing. Kay is celebrating like he had some real football knowledge because he picked the best team in football for the last 3 years. Don and I were out on a limb.
And you picked against him.
Yeah. No, we stepped out on a limb to go with the Bills because we both said we'd like the Bills.
Dumb limb.
But fine, it's a dumb limb. But you don't get some credit for picking the same game that every Wahoo, you know, beer-swigging lunatic.
The money in Vegas went on the Bills. More money in Vegas went on the Bills. The Bills were the honey pick for everybody. They all got snookered like you.
Snookered.
Not me.
Oh, yeah. They didn't get snookered enough to flip the line.
The line went down.
To what?
It went down.
No.
Yeah,
no,
it didn't.
Went down a little bit.
It was minus three.
All right. So it started at 3.5.
You're full of it. You should be ashamed
of
yourself.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Some baseball. Here we go again, everybody. So the Players Association has turned down the universal DH. Because the owners, rather than just saying, let's have a universal DH, they want to get something out of it, a little something-something. So they said, we want expanded playoffs. So the players said, no, it's not worth it. The expanded DH is not worth the expanded playoffs. It's just not. And here we go again, sitting there airing your dirty laundry when we have a pandemic going on, and this is what's going on now. This is what's going to go on for the next year because we have a collective bargaining agreement that we also have to deal with. Now, all the mayors of all the cities in Arizona, in Maricopa County, where the infection rate of COVID-19 is one of the highest in the world, they sent a letter and said, we would rather you postpone spring training to a later date. Because right now we don't think we can handle it. And the players want no part of that. No. Because that means that we might not play 160 games. We might not make all the money. It's unbelievable how they can't negotiate in private. Where they have to, here's our hand, everybody. Look, we're all greedy and tone deaf.
But this is a fight just for the sake of fighting.
Yeah.
Because I think the players are cutting off their nose to spite their face. They benefit from the universal DH because it keeps careers longer. It allows their players to make more money. Well, half the league doesn't have DHs. That means that's jobs that are gone for their own constituents. That makes no sense, right? But they want to use it as a football to gain something else. Expanded playoffs also benefit them because it brings more television money. It puts more money in their pocket. So they're just fighting for the sake of fighting because the things that they're fighting over are things that they should want and puts money in their pocket and helps them. And the other thing with the Arizona stuff, give me a break. How can you sit there with a straight face and say you don't want spring training there and the Suns and Coyotes are playing games in that
state? That's a great point.
So stop it. Everybody's a joker, all right? I mean, come on, give me a break. You don't want spring training outdoors But yet the Suns and the Coyotes can play in Arizona indoors.
With fans.
With fans, exactly.
With fans.
So, yeah, well, nobody else has fans, but in Arizona they got fans at Phoenix and in where the Coyotes play, right? Give me a break. Come on, because they play in Tempe. So I'm not understanding that logic, and I'm also not understanding you're getting into a fight with the owners over things that are going to benefit you. How does the DH – how is that an issue? Take
because
the DH. It's extending jobs.
In their short-sighted way, it's not worth the same as the expanded playoffs. We want more for giving you the expanded playoffs.
But they are benefiting from the expanded playoffs. Won't they make more money?
I guess a little
bit. And more
bit.
Teams make the playoffs? So they've got a better chance of winning a championship and getting bonus money?
Of all the sports, and you know, Don, you live and breathe hockey. There's no love lost between the Players Association and NHL. But they also realize, let's not drive off a cliff together like Thelma and Louise. Baseball, the Players Association and the owners, they despise each other and they don't trust each other. And the sport and the fans hang in the balance. How dumb can you be?
But and think about this, because you know everybody got on Gary Bettman when he said that we probably would lose less money not playing. Right? People that didn't believe it, give me a break, whatever. But if you were to believe him for saying that, you would realize that they understand that sitting out a year is a bad optic. And that would be sitting out a year because of the safety of your players and because of COVID. And meanwhile, baseball possibly waiting some time to sit out an entire year, not because of COVID, but because of money?
I mean, a union represents everybody. That's why the union defends bad guys, because they represent everybody under their umbrella. So Marcelo Zuna and Nelson Cruz, what do they think? The union just cut off half of the teams that would be interested in signing them. Half. But, you took away 15 jobs from them.
See, that's
15 possible landing spots.
That's why I have. Then you wonder why like fans side with the owners, right? Because especially with the baseball union, it's like they're just fighting for the sake of fighting. Because this doesn't make any sense to me. The problem I've always had with the baseball union is they don't care about all of their union, but they care about the big guys. That's why Jason Grimsley was shot down when he wanted to say something about steroids, because they care about the big boys, not the average guys, right? They don't care about all those guys, because if they cared, they'd realize if we can get 15 teams to produce a job that can keep somebody continuing to play, they can actually have players extend their careers by 3-4 years because they don't have to play the field. If they cared about every single member of their union, they would take the DH and the expanded playoffs and say, thank you. Thank you for putting extra money in my pocket. All right? But they don't only want Michael to put money in their pocket. They want to cripple the owners. Like, they want to win by 100 points.
Right.
See, back in the day when Marvin Miller, even though Marvin Miller had his issues, all right, Marvin Miller didn't care. He wanted to win 51-49. He just wanted to win. But now the Players Association wants to win by 100 points because they hate the owners and they want to bring them down. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, Michael. These are things that benefit the players.
Here's what it is, Don. It comes down to this. The last basic agreement, the owners took the players to the woodshed. They got in a salary threshold, which in essence is serving as a cap. And the players got hoodwinked, and they got beaten badly in the negotiations. So now they bring in this guy, Meyer, who is a real tough negotiator, and they want to get back everything that they lost the last basic agreement. Well, good luck. Good luck.
But why don't you take the blame for the loss? And like you said, fire everybody. I mean, that's what the NHL Players Association did. They fired Goodnow. They brought in Donald Fehr. All right, and now they try to, you know, they'll try to get a win, they make back, but they realize we screwed up. We allowed the owners to beat us. We allowed the owners to implement a salary cap. So now we're going to strengthen our borders, and we're going to try to become a better union to try to fight for what we think is right. All right, and create a partnership. See, this is the problem. They don't have a partnership in baseball, Michael. The players want to make their money, and they want to hurt the owners. If they were partners, they'd want to strengthen the owners so more money could be made for them. But the players have to realize that, you know, you're hurting yourself.
it's such an antagonistic relationship.
That's it.
And it shouldn't be. They should be trying to improve the game. Instead, what can I get? What can I? And you're right. They don't just want to win. They want to just completely annihilate the opposition. Now, when we come back, there were some baseball moves made over the weekend. We'll break that down. Take your phone calls as well. We've got Steve Young at 5 o'clock. It's 1-800-919-3776. The Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN, is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.